the topic of longevity, something which definitely comes up in the parsha we just read and the parsha that we read going forward. The first question which you have to ask yourself is, are we born with expiration dates? And I can't tell you what yours might be, or even what mine might be for that matter. But the question is that a negotiable number? The Gemara is under the assumption that when a man is born or a woman is born, they're born with given a certain amount of years. And the question is, obviously, everyone agrees that in the person lives a life in an unworthy way that we can lower that number. But the question becomes, can you also up the number? If a person is a particularly good person, is there a possibility that this wasn't an opening offer on God's behalf, but we could perhaps renegotiate later on? A key Gemara is the Gemara in Yevamos, which is number one on your source sheet. It talks about Menashe. Menashe was the son of Chizkiah. Menashe was, even though Chizkiah was one of our best kings ever, Menashe is very much on the other side of the spectrum. And if you, just a little bit of a background, Menashe was the offspring of not just Chizkiah, but also Chizkiah and the daughter of Yeshaya Hanavi. The Gemara tells us that Chizkiah, even though he was a wonderful king, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that he was practically the Melech HaMashiach. Had he sung Shira, had he shown the requisite appreciation after the miracle of Sancheiriv, he would have been the Mashiach, and that would have been the beginning of the Messianic era. However, he did not. And in fact, shortly thereafter, Yeshaya delivers a piece of bad news to him. Not only are you not the Mashiach, but you're also about to die. Why did he die? Was he going to die? He was going to die because he was not Osek Bepiri of Erivia. He did not have any children. Chizkiah explains that he knew that his son would not be worthy. That's why he didn't have any children. Yeshaya says, that's not your business. That's God's business. You do what you have to do. With that, Chizkiah says, fine, I'll get married. And as such, we'll get back to the story shortly. He says, but in order that I should have some hope that this child be worthy, I want to marry your daughter. Between my Zechuyos as the king and your Zechuyos as the Navi, hopefully we can turn this kid around. Unfortunately, it was not to be. And eventually, Menashe not only does become a bad king, but he kills Yeshayahu HaNavi. He kills his grandfather. So the Gemara tells us, Menashe Hargis Yoshi is Yeshayahu. Amar Rava, Maiden Dine Vekatle. Why did he kill him? He went and he put him up. He tried him in court and he killed him. Amalei. So he said to him that, Yeshaya, you are a kofer. You deny that what Moshe says. Moshe Rabcha Amar es mispar yamecha Amalei. Moshe Rabbeinu says that a person, if he acts properly, es mispar yamecha Amalei, you will receive the complete amount of years which you are entitled to. Indicating what? That is a maximum. As good as you are, you can only get as much as has been set aside for you. Va'at amart, however, Yeshaya, you say, va'osafti al yamecha chamesh esrei shana. Yeshaya, when you came to my father and told him he was going to die, and then afterwards he said, I'm going to do tshuva, and you say it's too late. But he goes and he does it anyhow, and he davens and he gets married. He says, you've just gotten 15 more years. So he says, his time was up. You said he could get 15 years before. Moshe Rabbeinu said you can't go over the number. So therefore, Yeshaya, the fact that you disagree with Torah's Moshe, that makes you an apikaris, and therefore I'm going to put you to death. Such a tzaddik Menashe was. Amar Yeshaya, Danan Beidro Makabo Ma Emele, V'Emele Yishavim Mezen. He said, listen, I know whatever I tell him, he's going to kill me no matter what. And if I explain to him why he's wrong, he will not have any defense for killing me. So therefore, I'll do him a favor. I won't answer. Let him kill me in thinking that he's right. Amar Shem, Ibo Ba'arzot. Gorg gets a little strange here. He says to Shem Hashem, he goes and he becomes part of a tree. Asher Arze V'Nasre. So Menashe orders that the tree be chopped down. Ki Matar Hade Puma Nachnavshe. When they reach the point of his mouth, he dies. Okay, Mishum de Amar Ubatoch Amsa Saim Anochi Yoshev. Because of a comment Yeshaya had made earlier, that's why he was deserving of this. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says, part one. That we have the story here that Menashe was of the opinion that Moshe said that the that person has a maximum amount of lifespan. You can't go beyond that, but Yeshaya said otherwise. So the Gemara no comes back says, Taka, who's right? So Gemara says, after the three dots, in the fourth line, Es mispari yamecha amalei tanoihi. So machokas tanoim. The Tanya, as it says in the Braisa, Es mispari amecha amalei elu shnei daros zocha mashlim lo zocha poskim lo. Says that a person is supposed to live to see two generations. You live to see your children, you live with grandchildren, if we're going to be generous, and that's what you get. If you are deserving, you get it all. If you're not deserving, you get less. Indicating what? This is a maximum. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Chachamim lo mezacha mosifim lo, lo zacha posim lo. The Chachamim say no. If a person is worthy, he could even get more. If not, you get less. This is just an initial offer. But from here we can negotiate further. So it's a machokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So Amru lo Rabbi Akiva, Harei at Omer, Hasafti Yomecha Chameser Shvei Shana. They turn to Rabbi Akiva and say, what do you say about Yeshaya? Yeshaya said to Chizkiya, you're going to get another 15 years. How can you argue on that? Amrohem, Mishalo Hosifalo. He said, no, you got to look at the whole picture. What's the whole picture? Chizki was supposed to live as he was supposed to live. Well, he was going to live to the age of 100. Now he's 50. And he says, that's it. You sin, you're going to die. So he goes, he davens, he does shuva. He says, okay, you get 15 years back. You're going to live to 65 now. But it's not that he ever went past the deadline. He was supposed to live to 100. Hosifu, they gave him back Mishalo, years that he originally was supposed to get. The years that he lost, he got back some of them. But it's not that he got beyond the number. So that's the answer, Rabbi Akiva says. But you can't go best of the line. Sherei Navi, oh, maybe Misnaveh, he may be no longer based on the Yoshio, because there already was a Nevuah that he was going to have children. So clearly he had to have more years. If he would have died right now without children, where would have this Yoshio come from? Menashe wasn't born yet, and Yoshio is going to be a descendant of his. V'Rabbanon, how did Rabbanon answer that? Miksim Mechizkia, the Yoshia has to come from Chizkia. He's the only person alive from Beis David. LeBeis David Kesiv, imi Chizkia noed imi inishachini. No, he could have had a different kid from a brother of Chizkia could have had a kid. A cousin of Chizkia could have had a kid. Yoshia could have come from someplace else. So this machlokas between Moshe perhaps and Yeshaya Hanavi is a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. Machlokas from Kiva and Chachamim, who do we usually follow? Chachamim. Halachik Rabbi Akiva mechavei rov, below mechavei rov. If it's an individual versus Rabbi Akiva, we follow Rabbi Akiva. If it's multiple people, Chachamim, that's multiple, then in fact we don't follow. So it would seem what, if you read this? If I had to paskin, it might not be any practical differences in this, but could a person live beyond their years? So it would seem not. It would seem yes. Because we follow Chachamim, right? That would seem to be the Psak. It's interesting because Kolei HaPsak, we generally assume, do not apply to non-halachic questions. I'll give you an example. There's another machokas between Rabbi Akiva and others on the topic of the 10 lost tribes. Right? Are the 10 lost tribes coming back or not? Rabbi Akiva says, gone and forgotten. We're never going to see them again. All these people are popping up all over the world, whether it's in India or Ethiopia or Uganda or Nigeria or Afghanistan or China. Wherever they are, they can't be from the 10 tribes, according to Rabbi Akiva, because they're gone. They're never coming back. We have a tradition. Other people disagree. Gemara and Sanhedrin has two opinions on this. So how do we paskin? So the Rambam writes there, we don't paskin. Psak is something that refers to halacha. Right? Historical questions, hashkafic questions, the kolei psak don't matter. And therefore one does not have to follow these rules. And it's interesting because you look forward and there's a split on it. Rabbeinu Bachya in Parshas Vayelech writes as follows: God can raise, can lower that which is great and raise that which is low. He can do what he says. He can make it more. He can make it less. Or Umar choso al nigzar. Now that you can live beyond them. Mechizkiyahu shenemar, hine yosif al yabecha chamesh ashrei shama. He says, in fact, he said both are right. Moshe's right that some people deserve it, they're going to get all. Some people deserve it, they're going to get more. And other people are going to get less. So Rabbeinu Bachya, in his Perish on Chumash, writes clearly that he thinks Chachamim are right. And in fact, the person can live beyond their years. That whatever number you are given to start with, that's an initial offer. But in fact, extenuating circumstances could change the number in either direction. The Sefer Torah HaMincha, number 3, again, you can read the at length, both the one with their proofs, thinks not that way. He thinks that a person is limited, that this is the maximum amount of years. We just said on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Nisan Tokef, Mi Bekitzo, Mi Lo Bekitzo. Right? People are going to die this year. Some people are going to die because their time is up. And some people are going to die prematurely. But there is a concept of time is up. There is a number. That number, whatever the number is, it's not the same number for everybody. But we all were born with an expiration date. And when you reach that number, that's it. Time's up. So that's an interesting mahokas. Again, not sure what the practical ramifications are. Again, you talk about the 10 lost tribes. There are real practical ramifications nowadays as we try to figure out who is a Jew. Has now who is a Jew on steroids with these questions. But in terms of this question, it's an interesting theoretical question, but as is, there's no real answer. It's interesting. The Aruch HaNer in Yevamos has a very interesting... The Karen Aura, sorry. Yes. Why? I would think not that way. No, yeah, everyone has a set time. The question is, some people die... So yeah, I think the question is, if you look at Nisan HaTokef, it's a lot of it is mi yashir mi yani. One is positive, one is negative. Mi yishafel mi yarum, right? So again, mi bekitzo, mi lo bekitzo, one could definitely read as bekitzo is a good thing, and shelo bekitzo is a bad thing.
But the translation would be shortened time.
What?
Shortened time. It's shortened time. That means I had a set time, but it was shortened because...
Everyone agrees to have a set time. The question is, and everyone also agrees I can differentiate from the set time downwards. Machokas, can I differentiate from the set time upwards?
Okay.
Right? So again, I understand you could read Shalom Bekitzo as it wasn't the time, but it's better. On the other hand, if you look at the parallelism in the Sinai Tokef, you probably don't want Shalom Bekitzo. Right? That's the one could definitely read it that way. Looking at the Karen Ora. Karen Orr makes a very interesting point. He quotes it from the Marsha, and he doesn't have a great answer for it. He says as follows. Let's take the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he just died over Simchas Torah. Right? Happens every year. Right? So, every year. Never learns his lesson. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, lived to be 120, as we'll discuss a little bit more. And 120 was his times. He gets up and he says that, you know, today is my last day. My time has come up. Now, we also know that were it not for the sin of May Meriva,
he would have gone to Eretz Yisrael.
How old would he have been when he went to Eretz Yisrael?
Older than that.
Over 120.
Maybe he would have gone into the same. He would have gotten there earlier.
But again, we had 40 years we had to wait for. Right? They weren't going to send him in without everybody else. Right? Right? He was going on the same bus as everyone else is going. What? Right. So the question is as follows. If he would not have sinned, he would have been able to go in. If he would have gone in, he would have been over the age of 120. 120 is his amount of years. So doesn't that prove the Chachamim? If you put that all together, right? Didn't the Chachamim say that you can go over your number? And here's the one case where we know the guy's number, and we know he happened to not go over the number, but he did not go over the number because he sinned. Indicating that were he not to have sinned, he probably could have gone in.
But I can't answer that by saying that if had he not sinned, then he would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, Chazal told us he would have been Mashiach, so it would have been the permanent establishment, and then we've gone into a situation where 120 years no longer would have been relevant, and everyone may have.
So again, are you assuming that Yemos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMeisim come together?
Not not necessarily, but the Yemotu Mashiach could mean that the end of death.
Right. Okay. But again, we'll discuss a little bit at the end how longevity will be affected by the Mashiach. But okay. Maybe that's an answer.
Except the Torah doesn't mention that you would have been. I mean, that's a medrash. But the Psukim say very clearly, had he not sinned, he would have gone over 120 years. Period. Forget Mashiach.
Doesn't say
we're gonna. Sure it was, because he
says he would have gone there.
Right.
They could have died from that place.
That would have been
you have a question.
That would have been more than Mispar Yemechal Melech. Sayomah Zanolat, Yayomah Zanolat. So it's still gone over that time.
Okay. Why do you say Moshe Stephanie is much longer than 120 and then because he said he died?
Because he says the Feirish in the Chumash, this my days have run out. Right, we'll see. He says that this is it. My time is up.
We can go further than that. Wasn't for the Miraglim, he would have been 81 and gone into
Atlanta. But no. So again, it's an interesting question. The Karen Ora raises it. I think it's something worth thinking about. He also points out that there are other people that died be'itav shel nachash, that there is a list in the Gemara of, it's not a particularly long list, of people that never sinned, and because of that, the only reason they died was because of this week's parsha, right? Because there's a gezeirah. This week's parsha, it says that everyone has to die. So what are you going to do? Whether they deserve it, whether they don't deserve it, everyone has to die. Indicating that were it not for this gezeirah, they'd be able to live a lot longer. So, an interesting question, but that's the story. So again, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim, whether a person could live beyond their allotted days, and that also we have a machlokas how we paskin in that case. And again, in terms of admittedly, practically, what do you do different because of this? Is this a reason to yes or not have a Mediterranean diet? It doesn't. there's no real nafkamina in that. Now that so again, but we understand that there is a set number. Everybody has that set number. The next step is to discuss. How high could my number be? Can I have a number beyond 120? Right? This idea of wishing people, I may have asked from Shana, assumes that that's the highest number you could get. Where does that idea come from? So there are two potential sources in the Chumash. One is the very end of this past week's Parsha. And the other one, interestingly, is all the way on the other end. Right? Again, that's what we read 2 weeks ago, which couldn't be further away than the Chumash. If you look at number 5, at the very end of Bereshit, it says, "Vayomer Hashem lo yidon ruchi b'adam la'olam b'shagam hubasa v'hayu yomov meya ve'esrim shana." The Chumash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, that's it, I will not let man to live forever, or I will not keep my spirit within man forever, because after all, he's made of flesh and blood. Therefore, the amount of years will be 120. One could read this pasuk as saying that we have now made a mention that man could live up to 120 years, being that man, at the end of the day, is human. Rashi clearly does not read the pasuk that way. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "V'hayu yomav ad meim ve'esrim shana arich lehem api." He says, right now, at this point, Noah is 480 years old. I'm giving mankind 120 years to clean up their act. And in the event they don't clean it up in 120 years, I'm going to bring a flood and wipe out the world. So this 120 does not deal with any individual or individuals, how long you can live. Rather, from this point forward, you get 120 years. What does this say about the potential lifespan of man? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It has no bearing whatsoever on our question, according to Rashi. The Rashbam points out that you could read it our way. Some people say, no, this is how long a person can live, 120 years. Vein matzanu yoser kach. Because in the bottom line, if you look around, not a lot of people living beyond 120. Matzana ma'at, a handful. Rak al-rov yidaber. We're talking about the majority of the people don't make it past 120. The ein ze emes. Unfortunately, that's not true. That's not pshat in this pasuk. The Rashbam says, ki hinei Shem Chaya Sheish Be'oz. Shem is born after that. He lived 600 years. That's more than 120. V'chol Ados Achrav Chayu Shanim Rabos. So many other generations going forward. The whole next parsha, everyone's going to live longer than that. It would be May Peleg Chosru Hashanim. It's not Peleg, it goes down. It would be Yemos David Ad Hayom Shivim Oshmonim. So now we're at a point. The average person lives 70. Mishnah Seinu Shivim Shana Vim Begvuras Shmonim Shana. Ve'emes Mash Amar Metargim Aramish Nosim Kitz Odom Kitam Od Arbeim Yom. Truth of the matter, it means that this is how much time you have to clean up your act. The Rashbam says you might want to read it otherwise. You can't read it otherwise. In fact, it talks about the amount of time. So in fact, according to the Rashi and the Rashbam, you really cannot use this as a source because it's not talking about what you might have thought it was talking about. The next potential source in the Chumash is Moshe Rabbeinu, who lives to be 120. Pasuk tells us in Vayerach, Vayomar Avayam, Ben Me'ah Ve'esrim Shona Anochi Hayom Ra'ucho Od Ratzis Ravo V'Hashem Amar Alai Rosa V'Aretz HaYardei Nazer. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am now today 120 years old, and Hashem says the party's over. And in fact, Moshe ben, we read in Zos HaBracha, Moshe ben Me'ah Ve'esrim Shona B'Mosel O'Kasa Einov Ro Nas Lecho. That Moshe was perfectly healthy. There was no reason why he should have died, other than the fact that his time was up. Right? Up until the last day, he was absolutely healthy. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah comments, "Vayomer Aleihem ben Me'avesim Shana Anochi Yom." She ain't talking Omar Hayom. It doesn't say Yom. You say I'm 120 year old today. Why do you tell me today? You're 120 years old. Could have done without the Hayom. What are we supposed to learn for that? Hayom malu yom ha'yishnosam. Amish ha'kosh baruch hu yoshev malish nosem shal tzadikim biyom yom chodesh chodesh shenemar es mispar yamecha amalei. So, it seems that definitely, the Gemara is saying that is the maximum amount of time that Moshe Rabbeinu got. Now the question is, okay, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was 120, but that doesn't have any effect on me. Just because Moshe got 120, I could be 100, I could be 110, I could be 90, I could be 130. Just because Moshe Rabbeinu drew a 120, how do I know that he drew the biggest number? So yeah, you would think that Moshe Rabbeinu, he'd get a good number. But it's not a raya. It's Moshe Rabbeinu got a 120, that was his number. But again, I don't really have a proof that Moshe Rabbeinu's number was the highest possible number. So the bottom line is the simple reading of the two psukim that are relevant in Chumash, they seem to be not strong proofs to what we're saying. On the other hand, there are people who do read these proofs this way. Interestingly, we said Rashi in Bereishis read the pasuk to mean that in fact it has nothing to do with this. Rashi in Iyov reads it the other way. So Rashi in Iyov, which is not as well known as Rashi in Bereishis, Pasuk of 21:21, number 11 on the source. Ki ma'chefso beveso achro bispa chadashav chatzotzu. Rashi explains this pasuk and says ki ma'u choshesh v'chafetz beveso la'achar maso lidog l'chayev peranius ha'asil lavo l'aleim. What's even concerned? What's going to happen in your family after you die? Why is everyone spending all this time on retirement planning? What's the bother? You're not there anymore. Achreish bispa chadashav nifkutzu v'yachul lifnei harashi avtichum amakam v'hayu yamav me'av esrim shana. You know you're limited. You know there's a limit to how long a person could live, as the pasuk says, "V'hayu yam of May of Esrim Shana." A person could live to be 120. What pasuk is that? That's the pasuk in Bereishis, and Rashi clearly is using it in Iyov as an understanding of that's the maximum amount of time you could live. So that is point number one. Yes.
Achmas HaGemara follows the position as it always has, and Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, you know, the most humble man who ever lived, Evan Shalim of the Tzedek. Gemara Nivon is the only discussion in the Gemara on genetics. When it comes to Eilu Ve'el King Chaim, we just finished with the Yom Yom, not only in Eilu Ve'el King Chaim, we also find this suffocation siege that you're dialing back.
I have a lot to cover.
Contemporary physicians say that the human body of a height of that exegesis is measured of 120 years. Temporary medicine.
So I don't know if that's true. I remember there was an article in Discover magazine. Do they still have Discover magazine? Does that still come out? Yeah.
I'm quoting top physicians.
Yes, I just know what I read in the magazines. I'm not a top physician. I don't even play one on TV.
Temporary medicine what? Can extend the quality of life.
So again, I don't agree with that initial statement, I think, because Discover magazine, I remember they had a cover story where there were two well-known scientists, I couldn't name either of them, that's how well-known they are, and where they bet whether or not within the next century anyone would live to see the age of 150. And they both put $5,000 in the pot, and this was a 100-year bet. So you think if you with a reasonable rate of return, $10,000 in 100 years from now, let's say you're making a 7%. So that doubles every 10 years, that would mean, right? So it'll double 10 times over the next century, right? So $10,000 times 10 to the ninth, that's a very big number. So the deal was if somebody lives to be 150, the Yorshim of one guy gets it. If someone doesn't live to be 150, the Yorshim of the other guy gets it. That's the bet that they put down, and it was reported. Because there is a split. There are definitely scientists who believe that there is some sort of plateau out there, right? And then that's it. No matter what we do, no matter how low we get the cholesterol, how much we can genetically modify people, no matter what we do with the genome, that's it. You know, there's a limited amount of times that the cell can split and make it. And that's going to be the end of it. And other people say, no, science will conquer all. So I guess time will tell. But I don't know when. I think that just like there's a machokas here, there's probably a machokas in the scientific community as well. Okay. Looking at the Yerushalmi in Nazir says, V'hayu yom v'meyev esam shana, karov elo shana chaya adam arishon. So the Yerushalmi asked the question itself. Why are you telling me 120 years? Adam arishon lived to be almost 1,000. Lived to be 930. Right? That's it. So how could you tell me 120? Now, interestingly, clearly the Yerushalmi is understanding the Pasuk as referring to man's lifespan, not like Rashi in Chumash. So he gives a different psak. He says 120 years, that's the amount of time it takes the body to decompose. Complete decomposition of the body takes 120 years. Told a third different pshat from what we have seen beforehand. So, what?
It's very, very physical.
Right. It has nothing to do with the story of Noah. But then again, it also doesn't really affect. He's saying that, no, we're not limited by 120. That's just talking about the afterlife. Looking at the Sifrei. The Sifrei says Moshe ben Meir v'Esrim Shana ze echad me'arba shemesu ben Meir v'Esrim Shana. They were in Moshe Hillel Azokin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai Rabbi Akiva. The Sifrei is of the opinion that this number 120 is just not just the Moshe Rabbeinu number, but many of our great leaders have lived to be 120, which perhaps one could take to mean that there's something special in this that might be a little bit of a support that 120 is a maximum type of number. It's interesting if you wanted to think about it a little bit. Rabbi Akiva died at the age of 120. He definitely didn't die of old age. Right? So it's interesting. According to this Sifrei, he had to die that day one way or the other. It's an interesting thought. Okay. There is another approach with this, which is presented by the Ramban. The Ramban points to a pasuk again in this week's parsha. Look at number 16. God tells Adam HaRishon, do not eat from the Eitz Hadas, because on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. Did Adam eat from the Eitz Hadas? Did he die that day? When did he die? Over 900 years later. Wait a second. That's not what Hashem promised us. It reminds me of the old Abbott and Costello line. When they have them, they say, you know, choose your form of death. Says, old age. So, you know, it's the same idea. What kind of business? He says he's going to die. So that's what the Ramban wants to know. Ramban wants to know, wait a second, wasn't he supposed to die right there and then? So the Ramban says, "Biyom achacham imenu mos tamus, be'esha tocham imenu tiyeh ben maves." He says, when you eat from this, you will become the type of person, you will become mortal. That's his understanding, that you will begin a process which will live to your death. Now, it's very interesting. What's the assumption? That prior to eating from it, Adam was immortal, which is why it's very interesting. So why did they have the Eitz HaChayim there? If you remember, the Chumash tells us, he just ate from the Eitz HaDaas, we better get him out of there before he eats from the Eitz HaChayim, because he'll become immortal.
Implying
that he was mortal beforehand. So one could argue, well, he was immortal, and he became mortal now, and he could be going into re-immortalization. This is excellent on a triple word score, right? He could end up becoming re-immortaled, right, by eating again. Maybe. Okay, that is a possibility. But you see here that he says that, what does it mean? It means that you're becoming a process. It's just a process that's beginning here. When he says that you most tamus, it doesn't mean you're going to die today, as he didn't die today, but rather you're going to become the type of person who dies, you'll become a mortal person. Right? It's the same idea we have in the Malachim Aleph. Malachim Beis? No, it's Malachim Aleph. Gim Malachim Aleph. Right? Right? Where Shimi Begir is told by Shlomo, you can't leave your house. If you do, you're gonna that day you'll die. It's not that he died that day, then he was pulled in. So that's what it means. You just know that it's over at that point. Skipping to the three dots. V'al das anshei hateva, haya adam u'usad l'misa mitchilas hayitzir b'nei hayosu murkav. Scientists say that Adam HaRishon was never immortal. He had to die. The fact that he was partially made from the dust of the earth meant that he couldn't live together. Only something spiritual can exist forever. Something physical cannot exist forever. Adam HaRishon was physical. They say, no, what happened here? He was always mortal. But what happened is now he will die because of sin. It used to be that he would live whatever about the time. Now it's up in the air. Like we have concepts of other cases. Etc. He has a whole list. So he says, so that is the opinion here. V'aldas Rabbo Seinu, ilmar echit lo meisla olam, ki nesham el yonim nosel l'chaim rad. The other possibility is that no, that in fact, that he would have never died at all. Because, forget about the physicality, yes, the physicality would have to die, but the spirituality, the neshama, could have carried it forever. And in fact, that's what changed here. Right, correct. That's exactly what it means. I'm having trouble hearing, sorry. Right, he gave 70 years to life to King David, correct. That he was supposed to live to be 1,000, but he gave 70 over. Right, right. So it's interesting. I've always wondered, like, why 70? Why not 80? What? Right. Yeah, whatever reason it is. Very interesting. It's beyond the topic of this discussion, but there's a lot of discussion on the topic of why did God make David HaMelech with 0 years? What does it mean to create a person who would never live?
Let's say min garmi klum. There's a statement in I came across that was quoted from Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. The whole notion of Mashiach, the Mashiach has nothing of its own. It all has to come from the Kodesh Baruch.
Right,
that's the same idea by David.
Right, it's a strange idea. Right? It's worth a looking into. Okay, so that's the Ramban's idea that it has to do with mortality. So the Ramban, basically what the Ramban said is either he became mortal, which it seems to be the Chachme HaGemara, that's I assume who the Ramban would be supporting here, right? Or he was mortal beforehand, and in fact, the rules changed here. A lot of people, Arya Kaplan has like this. He said that what began here was a process. It's very interesting, just to say it outside a little bit, I'll add a little bit to what he says. We know at the time of the of Adam Harisha, people living to the 800s-900s. After the Mabul, it drops into the 400s. Right, 10 generations later, by Terach, we're around the 200s. And throughout Bereshis, for sure, the number keeps on dropping. One could make an argument that what began here was a process by which man's numbers would be go down to 120 maximum. It wasn't instantaneously, but as the Rabban said, it is a process. It's interesting, because there seems to be a raya to that, which I haven't seen anyone else point out. How long did Avraham Avinu live?
175.
175. How long was he supposed to live?
180.
180, but he died 5 years early because of Esau. How old did Yitzhak live?
180.
How long did Yaakov live to be?
147.
How long was he supposed to live?
180.
But what happened?
Because of what he spoke to Paro.
Lost 33 there. So Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were all supposed to live to be 180. How long did Yosef live?
110.
How long was he supposed to live?
120.
But he lost 10 because of Avdechav. Why wasn't he supposed to live to be 180? What happened there? Why does Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov get 180? And Yosef is down to 120. So one could make an argument that this is the process. Right? That the process was was near 1,000 by Adam. By Noah, 10 generations is down in the 400s. Then by Avram it's down. It's by Terach is in the 200s. Avram's down to 180 for three generations. And then by Yosef it's actually at 120.
It's Katnu Adorah.
Well, okay, but we hopefully we bottomed out. Right, that's the difference. Right? So one could see that. I've never seen anyone else point that out, but just the numbers. What? What? Right. Well, again, the idea is that in Gevuras 80, that's just a statement of general, right? But in terms of the absolute maximum, Gevuras isn't the absolute maximum. That is the story of how, is there a source for 120? So the Psukim, probably not. There are some tangential sources which do perhaps read it that way. And again, you could also perhaps read the Ramban that in fact it was a process that has culminated at 120. There's an interesting machlokas related to this between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim, discussing last week's Parsha, has a very odd comment. What the Torah is talking about, these people who live so long in last week's Parsha, and in this coming week's Parsha, I think that only the people on the list live that long. Everybody else was living to be a regular age. People live 70, 80 years, wherever they lived. Maybe he ate well, maybe exercised, Mediterranean diet. Oh, that's a mofis, it's a miracle. It can't be that everybody was living that long, but rather the Chumash gives us a list of exceptions to the rule. Most people were not living that long. The Ramban in this past week's parsha is very bothered by that. He said, why should that be true? He said, why did they live so long? Because Adam Harisha was created by God directly. So that's the most perfect that you're going to get. Over time, as you know, the generations go down, the mutations, etc., you know, lifespan's going to go down. But that the original, of course, is going to last best. Even though he became mortal, he was able to last a long time. When you had the flood, it was an environmental disaster. That's going to cut down on life. Days got shorter. Up until the Mabul, everyone's living kind of that long. Adam wasn't even the longest, right? Mr. Shalach, 969. Who is number two? I always ask this question. No, he was number one. Yared. Yared lived to be 962. So close. Right? Runner-up's worth nothing. You hear that, Cubs?
Finished second.
Right, yeah, you know. No one would remember who finished the second. He was just the Mike Dukakis of Voracious. Forgotten. That's it. There you go. President Dukakis. The same. Hashem Shinala called him Hamav Chaya Sheish Meyoshana. Right. The Tira Sheish Shahaya Zeva Having Adha Afloga. Right. And this is how it went on, etc. So therefore, he says, and he says,
air pollution.
What?
Air pollution.
That's it. Environmental disaster. Below ye, skipping down around halfway. The kasher be'enai mamar harav shekosav b'mar devuchim ki lo haya orech hashadim rak b'yichidim ha'era nizkarim. And I reject that which the Rambam says that it's limited to those individuals. V'shabnei adam b'daros ehem hayu shenos chayim hashadim hativim urgalim. Everyone else lived normal. V'omer ki haya hachidosh hazeb adam ha'u b'hanagosav mezono al derech neis. He says it's a miracle. So Rambam says, come on. Ruach. It's nonsense. Why should I have a miracle for these people? They were great people?
No.
Not necessarily. In some cases, necessarily not. I don't know. It just happened to be his son. Some were better, some were worse. So therefore the Ramban says, I don't know where the Rambam gets this from. Where does the Rambam get this idea? The Rambam, obviously the Rambam himself always wants to minimize the unnatural parts of the Chumash, but why here? Why? It's just such an odd statement to assume that everybody who wasn't listed was living normal in life. So we just listed these people who happen to have very high numbers. Where does that come from? So most people assume that the Ramban has got a pretty good point. The truth of the matter is that I'd like to try to defend the Rambam here. We know that all of these generations, from Adam to Noah, are all descendants of which son? Shays. Right? Obviously, we can't talk that much about the sons of Hevel. Right? That's a relatively short conversation. Right? But we can talk about the sons of Cain. Right? We know we get seven generations of the sons of Cain. We get it right after Cain kills Hevel, because that to show that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did what he said he was going to do. Shiva Sa'im Yukum Cain, that he's going to have seven generations. So what happens? So we have here, we're up to Lemech. Lemech is the seventh generation after Cain. And Lemech, we know the story. Rashi fills us in on a little bit that he has two wives. Hada Vatzila, he has children from both of them. According to Rashi, it's a little confusing, but he does. And accidentally, he ends up killing two people. He can't see, he's blind, he's hunting, something that blind people should probably try to do less of. Doesn't have such a happy ending. You know, I'm not judging, I just think it's probably not the best idea. He goes, he's told to shoot in a certain direction, he shoots, he kills. It ends up actually being a relative of his. He gets upset. He claps his hands together and he kills somebody else, another relative of his. Okay, that's the story. Now, Rashi tells us that at that point, or around that point, Lemech has a conversation with his wives. And he says to them, listen up here. What's the problem? I'm really a good guy. I'm not like Cain. Gives a whole story. So what's the story about? So Rashi offers the following version of it, number 21. So they came, they said, listen, we got to go to Adam Harish and we need to figure this out. So they said, we don't want to have any children. Why not? One of two possibilities. Either because you have this gezeira against the descendants of Cain, or because they know that there's going to be a mabul. So why do we keep on having children? They're all going to die anyhow. So Adam Arishan says, it's much like this is really parallels the story we started with Chizki and Yoshiah. What's it your business? Is it up to you to figure out what Hashem's going to do? You do what you have to do. You have children, and God will do whatever He has to do. Big talker. Look who's calling the kettle black. He said, look what's going on here. You, Adam Arisha, you're telling us this? Hello, Pirashtami Ishtachazem Mayav Shloshim Shana. 430 years, you haven't had any children. Misha Nikmisa Misal Yadcha. Since you found out about death. Miyad Vayeda Odamod. With that, he says, you're right. Ma'ol Ramzashan Toso Rotaiva Al Tavosam. Right away, he said, that's it. You're right. I'm sold. So then they went and they had Shais. How old was Adam when Shais was born?
130.
It was 130, correct. So, with that in mind, this was at what point in history? This is 130 years in. What generation is Cain up to? Seven. So how many years were there in the generations of Cain? 20?
Years.
No.
Over
no.
All of them.
Right, but each generation then was around 20 years. Right? There were six kids were born. One after, right? Child, grandchild, great-grandchild, etc. And that happened in 130 years. 130 divided by 6. I would say it was around, would be around 21 and two-thirds if I had to guess. Right? Yeah, okay, more or less. Right? So if that's the case, that number seems exceedingly normal. Normal. Hey, right? how old are our generations these days?
325.
Okay. How old was everyone else when they were having children? 150, right? 180, right? Mr. Shell was over 180. Noah was 500. Right? Adam was 130, as we know here, right? So that would seem to indicate that even though you've got out there definitely people that are living long, there are other people out here who are having very normal lives. So this is, I think, potentially a proof to the Rambam. This is the only place I can point to where it seems that there are normal numbers out there.
Careful with the word normal.
What? Again, 20 years to a generation.
Normal relative to what?
And nowadays. Right? Nowadays, I think that's an... And again, if anything, our number... historically, mm-hmm. our generation's a little older than usual. Right? Your Elta Bubbas and Zaydas, right? They were getting married at much younger ages and having children at much younger ages. And when the average lifespan was 40 years, it was probably a good idea to get a jump on this. Right? So again, historically, the numbers of Cain really seem to work out well. It's interesting because there definitely is a machokas and midrashim here. There's another Rashi there that talks about Na'ama. Who was Na'ama in this week's parasha?
No,
Achos Tuval Cain. Right?
The wife of Noah.
So again, if this is true, how old was Na'ama when she gave birth? Right? Again, Noah was born in the year 1056, I think. If she was born before the year 130, that put her at well over 900 years older than him. And then there was this period of infertility until he was 500. So she would have her first child at the age of 1400 and change. So again, if you assume that Na'ama, Achos Tuval Cain, and Na'ama, Aishas Noach are the same person, oh, that's a trick. That's a trick. So I think that is... yeah, I just pointed that out. Clearly, there are definitely two understandings. Also, the fact that they were concerned about the marble, right? The fact, according to the opinion, that they're concerned about the marble, it's a little early to be concerned about the marble right now, don't you think?
Especially since nobody believed it except Noah.
Right.
What? Even it.
Right. Again, so we're talking about that there's clearly, there's one is the approach that says we're concerned about the kola of Cain being Mekuyim, right? And therefore he turns and says Kshor Atzmocha Tchila. That's definitely one approach in the Medrash. The second approach, this has to do with the marble and Na'ama is already alive. That's definitely according to that understanding, that there's no proof to the Rambam whatsoever. In fact, the numbers go the other way, right? You're someplace in the year 900 now, with only six generations gone.
Probably Noach was born right after Adam died, because it says Rashi, because the Medrash that says Zayin Achamena, because until Adam there was a special klala on the earth, And now things again, you do the math for that.
It's not that hard to do, even without that Rashi. Just add up the numbers. All right, time's about up. We'll just end off with I just threw in here, if you want to look afterwards, number 22 and 23 is a question of which of the two approaches you take here. If you look at the Medrash Tanchuma, Nera Kayin Nasa Malchamavis, Kof Lamishan of Hunava Nadba Kolosav, right? One possibility is that Kayin dies here at the age of 130, right? That would support the Rashi idea of Kshod Atzmucho Tchila. On the other hand, Shmos Rabba, he quotes the pasuk in Kohelis, Im Yolid Ish Meya Zer Kayin Shehorid Meya Banim, Bishon Rabba Yechya Shechiel Kamo Shechaya Adam. According to this, Kayin lived to be 930. Not only that, but he lived 726 years longer than his father. He lived to be 1656. Right? So again, according to one measure, he lived to be 130. That would seem to follow one report. To that point, that he lived to be 1600 years old. Then ignore what I said. Point to that. What?
Not documented.
It's not documented in a primary source. It is documented in the Medrash, which one could argue is a secondary source. I'll give you that. Academically, that's as far as I'll go. We end off with the pasuk in Yeshaya. The Radak explains this pasuk that says as follows. He says, what is the meaning of this pasuk? So we're talking about Yemos HaMashiach. He says as follows. He said, "Bizeh azman." He said, all this, a person lives to be 70. Zeh bizman hazeh. Avo ba'oso azman lo yomru al zokin shemores yomav ashiya ben shlosh me'oso chamesh mo'shana. You're not going to say someone's an old man until they're 3,500 years old. V'yoser. Moshe yodoros harishonim. In the time of Mashiach, we will revert back to the way it was in the earlier days. In fact, Kinar ben Meya Shana Yomos, Kiyem Yosef ben Meya Shana, Zaha Yeh Ba'avono, Yomu Olav Nar Meis. If someone's going to die at the age of 100, you'll say, a young man passed away. Young man passed away. So definitely, the Radak understands Yeshaya as saying that we are, that hopefully we'll be entering the Messianic era soon enough, and at that point, all these rules are out the window. Everyone's going to live longer. It's interesting. Even the Rambam, right, the Rambam who says Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Mos HaMashiach El Shibud Machias Lavad, that the only difference between now and the time of the Mashiach is the fact that politically it's going to be a different setup, but there's not going to be any miracles happen. Even he says that man will live to be 150 or older at that point. Even though he's opposed to the miracles, he said at that point there'll be less pressure, etc., and people naturally will live much longer. Even the Rambam says that. Finally, we end with the Medrash, which goes one step beyond. Amar Rav Chanina, Ein Misa L'Asu Lavo Ela B'Ovdei Golchavim B'Vad. Rav Chanina said, the Yidin won't die, only the Goyim will die, only the non-Jews. Rav Yishuvan Levi Omer, Amar Lo B'Yisrael B'Ovdei Ovdei Golchavim. Even the non-Jews, everybody will live forever when the Mashiach comes. So again, as we said at the beginning, this is more of a theoretical Shia because we assume soon enough that it will all be irrelevant. Thank you. If anyone has questions, I'll take it outside.
If you look at the Archaean by Yechi, he has a whole separate discussion about why people live less and how they're mamale the tafki. So you might want to see a look at that. The Archaean by Yechi.